Hey everybody, welcome back. I'm Jen. This is Java and Genuflections. I want to try to get this in one take, which means I probably won't be able to, but I had recorded a podcast earlier today where I kind of touched on this subject, and I realized I have more to say about it. For adults who are dealing with childhood PTSD, or just, you know, reflecting on childhood abuse or any of those kinds of things, I really want people to understand that it's never your fault. You know, you were a child. There was nothing that you could have done. And I mentioned earlier, the episode I think is called Epiphany in the Morning, something like that. You hear a lot of talk about how as soon as somebody becomes an adult, everything, it is their responsibility as adults to work out and process everything that happened to them as a child. So if after the age of 18 or 19, a young person says, my childhood, you know, was really difficult and I was abused, and, you know, they don't have like the ability to self-regulate their emotions. You know, they don't know how to manage feelings in a healthy way. They don't know how to recognize healthy patterns. They don't know how to adult, because the time that they should have been learning how to do those things, the things that we're supposed to learn in childhood from our parents, these kids come out of childhood without the skills that they need to function in the real world. So when these kids come out of these households at 18, 19, 20 years old, whatever age, they cannot possibly, and I'm speaking in absolutes, but, and, you know, remember, I'm not a therapist, but it is very difficult to navigate having to learn your place in the world and having to navigate your place in the world when you were not taught how to be an adult and how to navigate the world. So, you know, when people in that 18 to 20 year old bracket are having like explosive behaviors and irritability and meltdowns and all those kinds of things, that difficulty managing money. I mean, there's so many things that we are supposed to learn in childhood. And, you know, with my granddaughter, I started teaching her about emotions and what emotions looked like and how they felt and how to identify them and how to manage them and coping strategies for them and loving her through whatever meltdowns or feelings that she was having. So all of these things that we need to know as adults should have been taught to us starting when we were infants. You know, the fact that, you know, you can rely on your adult, that they're going to take care of you and all of those kinds of things. So when a kid who has spent their entire childhood abused and neglected in one way or another, I'm thinking more along the lines of parentification, neglect, emotional abuse, physical abuse. When kids come out of that household environment, you know, they've been a lot of times in fight or flight for the majority of the time of their lives that they can remember. And another issue is that kids who are raised in those types of traumatic situations have difficulty forming memories anyway. So there's oftentimes a lot of gaps in memory. And so, you know, we put this on to young adults and tell them, yes, you were abused as a kid growing up, but you're an adult now, so you have to figure out how to resolve that. That's your responsibility now. You have to deal with that. But these kids don't have the coping skills necessary to realize that they need to get help to deal with this, for one thing. For another thing, you know, getting out into the world, either, you know, if that's college or technical school or just moving out or whatever, there's a huge knowledge gap for these kids coming out of these households. I mean, they, like I said, they weren't taught coping skills or just, in a lot of cases, basic life skills. And what these kids have learned is survival and not how to build a healthy relationship, let alone, you know, everything that these kids learned has been to survive and to make it in the environment that they were in. So it's very difficult for people who were abused as children and teenagers to transition into this world where, oh, I'm responsible for fixing all of this trauma that was put upon me for my entire life. Some of it I can't even remember at this point. So they come out of these households with this trauma that impacts how they behave now, and they don't know how to do anything. They don't know how to adult. They may not know how to regulate their emotions to be able to interact well in a romantic relationship, in friendships, in work relationships. Kids that are nurtured and taught from the time that they're small. I mean, obviously parents are definitely going to make mistakes, but I have seen parents now that understand the developmental stages of childhood and what they should be teaching their children at each stage along the way. And so much of it is about feelings and emotions and bonding and communication and those kinds of things. Whereas kids that come out of an abusive house, a toxic house, you know, one of the main things that they've learned is parentification. So not only taking care of themselves the way that the adults should have been taking care of them, but parentification in some cases, taking care of the parent, being the parent's emotional support, and sometimes being the financial support. And parentification in that these older kids took care of their younger siblings. And, you know, it's a lot more than mom and dad want to go to the movies. You know, you're going to babysit your little sister and I'm going to pay you and we're going to go to the movies and we'll order you a pizza. That's fairly normal childhood experience. To help build responsibility and accountability. With the parentification that I'm talking about the five-year-old who has a newborn sibling and the parent, the mother, has such severe postpartum psychosis that five-year-old child is protecting the infant from the mother. That's the level of parentification that I am, you know, I'm talking about, you know, creating an issue where for on whatever level you as the older child were responsible for the feeding, you know, bathing, bedtime, homework, caring for the younger sibling or younger siblings, or, you know, in some cases, if you have, you know, a parent who has issues with depression or substance abuse, or, you know, the marriage is falling apart, or, you know, any of those kinds of things, or parents who have to work a lot And I don't know for sure if the parentification of a mentally ill parent, the parentification that's a result of a mentally ill parent versus the parentification from a parent who is a single parent and has to work two or three jobs. I honestly, I'm not a therapist. So I don't know if those types of parentification feel different to the child. I don't know if one is more or less traumatizing. I don't know if, you know, one is worse than the other one. All I know is that I myself have been, you know, saying, oh, you know, you hit the age of majority, you're an adult, you now have full responsibility for the abuse that you endured, and that's your family. So, you know, you have to take that on for yourself. You have to figure that out for yourself while figuring out how to navigate the world that you were not prepared for, because nobody prepared you to function successfully in the real world as an individual. Because a lot of these kids who are parentified or abused as kids are made to feel guilty for wanting to go out into the world, because if they go out into the world to say to go to college or trade school or just to move out, who's going to take care of the siblings left behind? So as a kid of abuse, when it comes time for those kids to leave home, it's extremely difficult. And that guilt can plague these children who become adults for the rest of their lives. What we teach our kids is, you know, we teach our children, we provide our children with their inner voice. So if you are yelling at your child on a regular basis or telling them, you know, that they're incapable or stupid or whatever, that is what they're going to hear played back for the entirety of their lives. And that is not going to stop at 18, 19, 20, 30, 40, 50. That is ingrained in them. And so they are going to have to be fighting against that the way that you wired your children. Children of abuse were wired in such a way that no matter how hard they try, they are going to be perpetually fighting against the way that they were wired. Now, that doesn't mean that these people are not going to be successful. It doesn't mean they're not going to have full lives, because they absolutely can go on to have full lives and wonderful lives and develop wonderful, healthy coping mechanisms and process all of the trauma that they had. The issue comes into play where we don't always know what we experienced was abuse. And I'm speaking from the standpoint of a Gen Xer. All of our parents, I mean, if you go onto the different socials, all of our Gen X parents were crap. It's just, and we talk about them being boomers. So when I was a kid, they weren't called boomers. Boomers is the rebrand of that generation. They were referred to when we were little as the me generation, meaning they were uninterested in anything that did not directly benefit them. They were considered a very self-centered, self-focused generation. I remember they were like, you know, started calling them boomers because, you know, the boomer generation, the baby boom generation. But growing up, they were referred to as the me generation. And I think a lot of people either maybe don't remember that or aren't aware of that. But I remember that very distinctly, being on the cover of, you know, a couple different magazines and hearing about that growing up. So that there's a lot as we are, you know, parenting our own kids and becoming grandparents, that, you know, we learn more. Well, hopefully we're open to learning more. I myself have been open to learning new things and new ways and the science behind these things. And I'm also very open to looking back at the way I raised my kids and saying, you know what, some of that was real crap. And apologize, you know, acknowledging the fact that I did these things wrong. And I apologize. And I understand that it still impacts you and that it's going to impact you. And being truly sorry about that fact. But also being allowed to learn and change and grow as a human being and learn from these mistakes. Now, in my experience, well, you know, there are generations of parents who don't see it from that standpoint. I see more and more Xers who are taking responsibility for their crap parenting and saying, I am very sorry. I will walk with you and help you through this if that is what you want. Although, you know, it's up to them how they want to process whatever it is that had happened to them. And it's very, the whole thing is just very complex. And I don't know if I can get it. I don't know if I'm being clear enough. I don't know if I'm being irritating, trying to get this out of me, because this is like just weighing on my chest and so heavy that I just need people to understand that if you were raised in a crap situation, that is not your responsibility. You have to go and deal with it, but you shouldn't be forced to carry it yourself. And so us being told, well, you're an adult now, you have to deal with it, it's your problem now, you can't blame your parents for it anymore. Yep. You can. 100,000%. You absolutely can blame your parents. You absolutely can look and say, my parents did X, Y, and Z to me. My parents neglected me in ABCD way. These are the things that happened to me. And now on top of everything that they did or did not do for me in my childhood, now they're saying, tough luck, deal with it. That is just crap. That is just crap. That is absolute crap. Oh my gosh. It just, the very least a parent can do is acknowledge where they messed up. And as parents, you probably cannot identify the things that you did that were always hurtful to your kids. My kids have come to me and said things to me, and I was like, gosh, I would never have thought of that as being a hurtful thing. That's an inside thought. But you have to validate the fact that, crap, I'm sorry, that was wrong. I am very sorry that that happened to you. And it makes sense to me that you're angry with me or whatever it is. And, you know, like I said, offer to process it with them, but respecting the fact if they don't want you to process it with them. And I do hear, I'm much different now than I was when my kids were little. I'm a softer and kinder person than I was when my kids were little. And I do absolutely regret that. And I absolutely openly acknowledge that I wasn't always ideal. I guess I'm going to say it at that. But here's the issue with us telling kids at 18 to 20, whatever age, this is your responsibility. You have to deal with it now. The problem is that in the first 18 years of life, or how many years of life it was that you suffered from the emotional abuse, verbal abuse, neglect, parentification, whatever it is, it takes a long time for all of that to come out. It's like it doesn't automatically just like come out at 18 or 19 years old. You're too busy in that 18 to 30 age range. You're too busy trying to get established in a job, trying to find a place to live. You're too busy to think about and deal with all that backlog. And so I understand when my own therapist told me, you know, because I had said, gosh, my kids are going to need to go to therapy and I want to help them and all those kinds of things. And she said to me, she was like, this is not the right age. She's like, 25 to 30 is a lot more appropriate for kids to start generally going to therapy and things. because that early 18 to early 20s is focusing on getting themselves established. And then once they feel a little bit, they have their own safe place and they're, you know, have their own apartment, have a career or whatever, then they can start to unpack all of the garbage that was put upon them as children. Nobody is coming out of childhood unscathed. I mean, we have to recognize that. Nobody is coming out of childhood without trauma, because there's a lot of trauma in life. And whether you have great parents, educated parents, patient parents, calm parents, parents who try to do it by the book, parents are always going to miss the mark in one way or another. And if it's not your parents that miss the mark, it might be grandparents. You know, there's a lot of space for trauma in a loving, wonderful childhood. So nobody's getting out of childhood without things that need to be processed. It's just some kids have a lot more that needs to be processed than others. And that can, in my experience, become a lifelong struggle. Well, at least up to the age I am now. Because, like I said, I don't know if I mentioned it earlier, but I had not heard the term parentification until I was probably 48 or 49 years old. I still remember I was sitting and reading an AARP magazine. Get your AARP as soon as you can, because you get movie discounts. Gosh darn it, I went to the movies tonight and I forgot to use my AARP card. Whatever. Anyway, I was reading an article about the parentification of Generation X and the fact that the way Gen X was raised has impacted us so deeply. And I'm not saying more so than other generations or anything. I just know from my generation. Talking about the parentification of a generation, I had no idea. I had never heard that term. And when I heard that term and I read what it was, I cried. I was like, holy crap. There's a word for what happened. There's a word for this. There's a word for what happened to me. And it is bad. And people acknowledge that it is bad and it is rough. And I felt validated. And I also felt guilty for feeling upset about it, because I never want my brother to feel like, oh, it was so hard, you know, taking care of you and parenting you and all of that. That's not the case. I love my brother and I love the relationship that we have, but I realized that I should not have been his parent. I should not have been his protector. Although I am pretty proud of him because he has turned out pretty fantastic, and I do take some credit for that. But you see the conflict between parentification is definitely neglect, if not abuse. And so there's this parental relationship between my brother, you know, my younger brother and I. You know, it's not like typical kids where, you know, they're looking out for one another. It's the older kid raising the younger kid for whatever reason, fill in the blank reason. And I don't know if the different reasons cause more or less trauma, like I had said before, but as we grow and learn, and as Gen X finally has started talking about, you know, I think TikTok has really opened this up for Gen X to finally talk about the crap that happened to us when we were kids. And, you know, we're all the garden hose warriors that were locked out of our houses all day and that kind of stuff. That was crap. That was awful. And so many people are like, that was normal back then. That wasn't considered abuse back then. Really? I'm pretty sure it was. Pretty sure that was considered neglect. Even back in the 70s and the 80s, it's just that nobody cared, because the people who were in charge, they should have been making sure that we could drink water out of a cup inside the shelter of our own home in the middle of the day when it was 95 degrees. Those were the same people. Those were the perpetrators of the whole thing. So you're going to go ask a boomer to help protect you from a boomer? I don't really think so. I mean, fortunately, there's usually a nice mom in the neighborhood that would make sure that, you know, you could come in and cool off or whatever. But the only people that we had to help us were the same people who were parentifying us and locking us out of the house with the garden hose. So there were not a lot of options and there was not a lot of refuge. And so that's why to so many people my age, it seems normal because that's how people behaved. Well, the fact that that's how parents behaved does not mean that it was normal. Doesn't mean that it was okay. It just means that we did not have a refuge or a place to go to ask for help, because I know people that they did ask for help. And the whole thing was, is that if CPS ever shows up at this house, if social workers ever show up at this house, I guarantee as soon as they leave, they were getting their butts beat to keep this rated G. So I know things like that happen today, and I'm not trying to diminish or have a competition or any of those kinds of things. I just feel like Gen X with TikTok, we're finally talking to each other about these things. And one of the ways that we were manipulated as children was we were told if it happened, anything that happens in our house stays in our house. And so that's another good way to, you know, isolate, you know, families and isolate kids from each other. There were things that we just did not talk about. I see social media now. I see kids now, and I'm like, you guys are talking about the fact that your dog, you know, is messing in your house, or you're talking about, you know, the fact that you didn't have anything clean to wear today. I mean, we were shamed for so many things, and the whole expectation was, at least in the neighborhood where I grew up, the expectation was keeping up with the Joneses, and we could not let people know that our households were not always clean and perfect and all of those kinds of things. So when I see people now talking about how my dog is not potty trained and it's driving me crazy and what should I use to get the smell out of the carpet and those kinds of things, or, you know, my washer is broken and so I washed my underwear in the sink. I mean, just stupid things like this. Or my car is dirty. You know, people today are just like, you know, putting it on Facebook. Look at my messy house or whatever like that. Whereas Gen Xers were taught shame, shame, shame. Everything was shameful. Even something as simple as like getting something on sale, that was not a flex. You know, that insinuated that your parents couldn't afford to pay full price. And let me tell you what, they couldn't, but they wanted people to think they could. So we were definitely kept isolated from other kids, at least to an extent. I mean, obviously we were allowed to go play with our friends and those kinds of things, but there was very often a quiz of what did you tell your friends? You're not allowed to tell your friends this or that, or your teachers this or that. You had to keep up this facade that you came from a happy home, and we all were supposed to keep up. We weren't supposed to let anybody else know that we were latchkey kids, because somebody might try to come and hurt us. And we were all latchkey kids, but we weren't supposed to be talking about the fact that we were latchkey kids, because we were going to be home alone for hours after school and making dinner and everything like that. And so that made it even harder to go through that being a latchkey kid, because we weren't encouraged to talk about it. I mean, we were the, you know, stop crying, I'll give you something to cry about generation. We were the be seen and not heard generation. We were the generation of your feelings really don't matter. So as more Gen Xers are finally opening up to each other and talking to each other about these things, it's really helping. It's really healing. But as we are having these, healing revelations on the different social media, specifically TikTok, as we're finally able to see each other and finally able to speak to each other on a platform. And we're finally, I mean, honestly, Gen X didn't really start, in my experience, emerging from this whole, you know, being in a bunker eating our Pop-Tarts until after the pandemic or during the pandemic, because we were perfectly fine, you know, staying at home, eating boxed food and being ignored. It was fine. It was not, staying home wasn't a big deal because that's what we had, you know, we had always let yourself in, lock the door, don't answer it. That was how we did. I mean, that was like our sweet spot. That was, we definitely knew, we knew how to do that. But after that pandemic, there was a little bit more of an interest in Gen X. And we started talking to each other about the different things that happened to us as kids, and more, you know, people, Gen Xers who had gone into therapy and become helper generations. And as more of us were getting diagnosed with childhood PTSD and childhood anxiety and those kinds of things as adults, and speaking with more experts and experts weighing in, the things that we were like, you know, telling a story that we thought was so funny, and then we tell it to a group of people who maybe aren't Gen X or millennials or, you know, Gen Z, and they just stare at you and they're like, that's not funny. That's trauma. That's abuse. You know, your parents locking you out without food or shelter isn't funny. The fact that, you know, your only option was drinking out of the garden hose, that's not funny. That's not funny. We try to make it funny. And there's lots of other stories like that that, you know, just don't need to get into, because I think we're all pretty familiar with them. But my point is, at 51, I am still learning about ways that my childhood was less than ideal. There are things that happened that I look back now and I'm like, holy crap, I would never do that to my child or my grandchild. Teaching about emotion. I mean, nobody taught nothing about emotions. Forget it. Well, I'm sure some parents did. I mean, because there were some hippies back there raising kids. But the way that we raise kids now is very different. And gentle parenting and permissive parenting are not the same thing. And I will talk about that on another day. But I just really want people to understand that trauma unfolds and comes back to you as you get older. And I don't know if that's because we're in more of a place to process it because we're older and we have more tools. That would, I think, be nice if that's how it worked. But expecting these 18, 19, 20-year-old kids to take all of that abuse on and fixing that on, taking that on as their responsibility, just fresh out of the box, is wrong. And we need to stop telling kids that. We need to stop saying this is your responsibility to fix, because I promise you, what do people expect? You're supposed to be raising your children and teaching your children and loving your children and protecting your children so that they will become happy adults, you know, who get jobs, you know, get training and get jobs. People have to understand. I mean, did it not occur to people that the way that the collective parental mass was raising kids in the 70s and 80s, did it not occur to anybody? Well, it occurred to the people that said, you know, at the 10 o'clock news, do you know where your kids are and have you hugged your kids today? So there's definitely a group of people out there, whatever the generation older than boomers is, realize that things were not going particularly well. But it should not be a surprise to anybody that Gen X and like the cuspers are going to be dealing with this trauma all of their lives, because trauma impacts the way that we learn. It impacts the way that our bodies work. It impacts the way that our brains work. And there's no way that you can handle all of the trauma at once. And in some cases, like for me, I didn't realize that these things had names. I didn't realize that parentification was a thing. I didn't realize how much the childhood things impacted me until my own children were approximately the same age, or until I had my, you know, my granddaughter came into my life. It's going to take a lot more than just a couple years for people to sort out a garbage childhood. And I'm not saying the whole childhood was garbage. Obviously there was good times and things like that. It wasn't all bad, but there's a lot to deal with. And I know some of us are not laughing about it anymore. Not laughing about the parentification and, you know, being responsible for our kids or for our siblings and being home late at night and being afraid while our parents, not my parents, but parents were out at the bars or out at parties or doing whatever it was that they wanted to do while the kids, you know, stayed home and were not allowed to have normal sibling relationships. And I know people who, you know, have said to me just in conversation that after having their own kids, looking back at how truly abandoned they felt as children, and that it just really hadn't hit them yet because they were still sort of locked into that fight or flight mode. And I think the older we get, hopefully a lot of us are acquiring the tools necessary to navigate the world, either through therapy or whatever means, you know, that you're learning your new things. For some people, that fight or flight finally, you know, diminishes, and you can just go into, you know, a less anxious state. And that's when the memories really start to come back. And that's when you really start to think about the level of trauma and garbage that you went through. So I know I don't know how many different ways I could say this, but yeah, if your parents were abused and they didn't do the work to make sure that they were not going to pass that abuse to you, then yeah, they're definitely to blame. But I want to make sure that before you, you know, go on to have your own kids, you know, speaking to Gen Z, Gen Alpha, before you go on to have your kids, please do your best to at least start to work through your stuff. And honestly, maybe that's why I know so many millennials who are not going to have kids. I don't know if that potentially plays a role in it or not. And there's a lot of millennials and older Gen Z who are cutting ties with their parents. And maybe that's because Gen Xers didn't do a good job of processing everything that happened to us before we had kids of our own. But, you know, if you are Gen X and, you know, you're listening to this, when your kids come to you and say, you know, when I was growing up, you did this to me, or you said this, or this is how the environment in our house was, do your best not to be defensive about it. Invite them to have a conversation about it. And by a conversation, I mean, you sit there with your mouth quiet and you just simply listen to them. Let them trauma dump on you. Let them tell you how they felt at that moment as a little kid, because you put it on them. So take it off of them. You put that trauma, stress, or whatever, parentification, whatever it was, you put that upon them. So as a parent, knowing better and being wiser now than you were then, take it back. Take it back. I mean, obviously being mad doesn't mean you can be mean. So, you know, encourage them to say these things in a kind and respectful way. But if you made a mistake parenting, acknowledge it. And even if you don't think that you made a mistake parenting, acknowledge it and apologize anyway. Because intentions don't matter nearly as much as outcomes. I think one of the best examples that I've ever heard of this is the guy with the apple on his head. I don't remember the name of the person. But basically, there's this guy who's going to shoot the apple off of this guy's head with a bow and arrow, okay? And his intention is good. His intention is he's going to shoot this apple with his arrow. And once that arrow is released, the intention is done. And now we have to deal with the consequence. Did it hit the apple? Perfect. What if it hits the guy in the eye or in the chest and he's dead or he's blind or whatever? Which matters more, the intention or the outcome? Doesn't matter where you aimed, bro. It matters where it landed. So you may have had the best intentions of teaching your kid like responsibility or whatever what it was. But if it did not land with your kid, you need to take responsibility for that as the adult and help your kid process it. And, you know, if you were not the safe space when your kids were little, be the safe space now, be the refuge now. And the other thing is that if you're one of those people, and I know some Gen Xers are like this, you know, they're like, I'm done raising my kids at 18. Why? Why? Kids' brains aren't fully developed until they're 25 if they're neurotypical, and more like 30 if they're neurodivergent. Yeah, you still have work to do, and it's just how it is. Parenting is a lifelong process, and hopefully your kids become more and more independent and more successful, but they still should be able to ask you for help and call on you for help. And at whatever age they remember something, they should be able to come to you and say, gosh, you know, this is upsetting to me. And, you know, for the kids, you know, who are experiencing this, or like, for example, with my granddaughter, I'm much more mushy-gushy, lovey-dovey, you know, can I rub your back and sing you a song and give you a hug than I was with my kids. And that's absolutely appropriate for me to apologize to my kids because I think it was crap. I think I was crappy, and I think I should have been much more lovey-dovey. Do I have, you know, excuses? Absolutely. Was I stressed? Absolutely. Did I have terrible, you know, crippling anxiety? Yes. Was I getting treatment for it? Yes. Should I still have figured out a way to be lovey-dovey? Let me rub your back and sing you a song. Absolutely. That was my responsibility as a parent. And I absolutely was not that person. And I definitely dropped the ball. So now when my kids see me with my granddaughter and I'm very much, oh, you look like you're on red today. Are you having a big feeling? You know, go find someplace soft and then come back and we'll talk about it. You know, okay, what's your list of coping strategies when you're on red? You know, what can we do? You know, when they see me loving it out with my granddaughter, and that's not the behavior that they got from me when they were kids, they're going to be upset, rightfully so, because they deserved, my kids deserved the kind of parent that I am a grandparent now. And I am also allowed to grow and learn as a human being. So I can look back and say, yep, I definitely sucked. There were some real clunkers in there. There was some bad stuff in there. But I know better now, and so I'm going to do better moving forward. So at the very least, you're not, you know, putting that same garbage trauma onto your grandkids that you put onto your kids. So accountability and realizing, you know, what you did, which I don't feel like happens with boomers. I feel like, you know, when Gen X talks to their parents about, you know, this, you did this and this hurt me, they're like, you know, shut up. Who cares? Grow, you know, grow up, get over it. You know, there's no, yeah, you can't go, people my generation that I personally know can't go to their parents and be like, you treated me like garbage. I was scared being locked out. I was scared being alone, all those kinds of things. That's not going to happen. So if you're a Gen X, millennial, whatever, be the landing pad that you did not get from your parents. And also, don't ever say to your kids, this is your problem, you have to deal with it now. If they're willing to come to you and ask you for help, help them in the capacity that works best for them. Don't leave your 18, 19, 20, 30-year-old loaded down with all this crap, especially if you did not teach them how to carry the weight or you loaded too much weight on them. When they come back, if you are blessed enough that they come back to you and say, hey, I'm having this problem, help them carry it. Help them carry the burden as best you can. So I do not know why this has been weighing so heavily on me for the last few weeks, but it absolutely has been. And I just really wanted to get it out there. I hope it makes sense to other people. Hopefully it wasn't just some like rambling whatnot. I felt like my thoughts were somewhat together and organized, but I'm just seeing more and more of how we were raised and how it's impacting how we are as adults. I mean, basic things like, you know, learning how to take care of your stuff and learning how to stay organized or keep your room clean or keep your house clean or just bad parenting impacts so much of your life. And you have to go and learn new skills. You have to go and learn how to deal with it. But man, wouldn't it be better if we just tried to be the best parent that we could be and not some, you know, like, well, I did the best that I could. No, legitimately go out there, take some parenting classes, read some books, have some self-awareness, look and examine yourself as a person. Am I a good person? Am I a kind person? Do I have good habits? Do I have self-discipline? You know, can I regulate my own emotions? You know, pretend it's Rosh Hashanah and you're looking at yourself and, you know, trying to decide what you need to apologize for and take a personal inventory and decide, hey, I'm going to fix X, Y, and Z about myself, because we all have, you know, room for improvement. So, you know, if we could self-reflect and, you know, be dedicated to improving who we are, and then we actually could be better parents and be the best parents that we can possibly be. But, you know, parenting it's a career. And, you know, when you're doing whatever job, you're a paramedic or a nurse or a doctor or a computer programmer or whatnot, you're expected to go to ongoing training. You're expected to continue to learn the latest and greatest skills and evolve with the times and evolve with the technology. Same thing should be for parenting. Take the classes, read the books, put in the work so that you don't have a 50-something-year-old son or daughter who wakes up every morning feeling like garbage and feels shame about every single thing that they do. Because I know a lot of people who feel this way. And I know a lot of people who are experiencing, a lot of people in my generation, having an extraordinary amount of stress-related, anxiety-related health problems. So, yeah, do better. Try better. Be a better person. If not for your kids, for yourself. Just seriously, we need to end this garden hose parenting generation and be more available and loving to our kids. And if, you know, if you missed the boat with your kids and you are fortunate enough that your kid lets you help with your grandkids, get it right, get current with how things are done now. Listen to how they want you to parent. Understand that things change. Learn and grow. you know, just seriously, we have a lot. I think I'm just constantly amazed at how often things come up in my life that I can look back and be like, holy crap. That's a trauma thing. And I think that that's cliche. And sometimes I see stuff on TikTok and they're like, if you do this, that's a trauma response. I'm like, no, it's not. But some of it absolutely is. 100%. Some of it absolutely is. So, yeah. Now I feel like I'm just rambling and it's time for me to go to bed because I get my granddaughter first thing in the morning and I get to take her to speech and then hopefully we're going to play dolls. So she got new camping. She has these Our Generation dolls and she got like a new camping set. We always play camping with these dolls anyway. They're at Target. They're fantastic. They're like the American Girl dolls, except for normal income people. And they're very cute. I love them. They come with like lots of like boys and girls and different races and I don't know, different careers and all sorts of stuff. But one thing that Caitlin has always loved to play, and it's even more so since she had a family reunion. What was it last summer that was camping? She loves to take her dollies camping. She's got two doll campers, and she got a camping doll with the whole set. So that was one thing though. I will tell you, I did not play with my kids. I did not know how to play toys with my kids. And as an adult working in a daycare, I learned how to play with kids. That sounds, you know, like who doesn't know how to play kids? You know what? If your parents didn't play with you as a kid, you don't know how to play, right? It's hard playing. You have to actually learn how to play. And they have play therapy now. And, you know, you can go on YouTube and watch how to play with your kid. And I recommend that you do that. You figure it out. Heck, maybe I'll do a whole episode on how to play toys. That's fine too. But I'm looking forward to playing camping with the new Our Generation dolls. I'm not really so much a Barbie person. I like the big 18-inch dolls. And I don't know. I think we're going to get the toy room cleaned up and, I don't know, get organized and play with the Our Generation kitchen and all this other kind of stuff. I'm just, you know, I'm excited. I get to play with her tomorrow. So this should be, hopefully it'll be a good time. Thanks for listening. I know the episode is really long and I appreciate everybody that stuck it out and listened to the whole thing. I think I feel better. I do. And I hope it's given you guys something to think about. And I really appreciate you guys listening. I think I have seven listeners now, which is pretty exciting. And this season is being listened to more frequently than the first one. So that's exciting too. So if you would please share, I would appreciate that very much. And leave any comments. There's spots for each episode where you can send me a message. So if you want to send me a message, you know, make a comment, that would be great. But please share this around and come back because I'm sure that there's going to be more as I process all of this different kind of stuff. And I might do, and if anybody's interested, let me know if you're interested in an episode on how to play with little kids, because I think there's a lot of people who don't have any idea how to play with kids. Sincerely, I know I didn't anyway. And also, we're gearing up for some garden episodes as well. I have so much going on, but I have to go to bed. I'm tired now. So this is Jen with Java and Jen. This is Jen with Java and Jenny Flexions Bicycle.